Hi, I'm Charles Ernst, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff. Today, host Teresa Wilkie talks with Leigh Lynch, Executive Director of Arts in Prison, about the East Hill Singers, a choral group of prisoners and community members at the state prison at Lansing, Kansas. They will also be playing recordings from a recent concert by the group. Stay tuned for our calendar of events in the middle of the broadcast and the 420 drug war news at the end of the broadcast. Up next are Teresa and her guest.
This is Teresa Wilkie. The East Hill Singers is a unique, internationally known prison chorus located at Lansing Correctional Facility in Lansing, Kansas. It was founded in 1995, and the chorus has grown in size and prominence to include up to 50 inmate singers. The unique aspect of the chorus is the addition of volunteer singers from the surrounding community who are also chorus members. Normally, the chorus is comprised of about 50% inmates and 50% volunteers. KKFI was lucky enough to record that intro song, Holy, Holy, Holy. The chorus opens every concert with Holy, Holy, Holy. And this was in November. Today, I'm going to have a live interview with Leigh Lynch. She's the executive director of the chorus and the group called Arts in Prison. As we all know, it's slick on the road, and Leigh is not quite here yet. So I'm going to go into another song by the chorus, Battle Hymn of the Republic, number two.
Thank you.
That's a live recording that I made when I went to a church in Mission, Kansas, and heard a concert given by the East Hill Singers, a unique internationally known prison chorus located in Lansing Correctional Facility. So I have present with me now Lee Lynch. Lee, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me.
And those last two songs we've played for you, that's what you hear when you hear them live. Their CDs are even better because they're studio edited, and this was just me sitting there with a Zoom recorder. I heard children coughing.
Oh, those children are an important part of those events.
It's the truth. It's as if they wanted to sing along, mm-hmm. because this is really a great group. The music is empowering. So what I hear behind the music is a very smart conductor, this Joseph Kern. Lee, tell us, how long has Joseph Kern been with the program?
This concert series was actually Joseph's first series as director of the East Hill Singers Choir. Kurt Carson, who is the artistic director of Arts and of the East Hill Singers Choir and the conductor, also is on a sabbatical right now for work, and Joseph has been accompanying the choir for the last 2 or 3 years, and when Kirk had to step away, he was the logical choice to step up. So this was his first season there. He put together a very complicated concert and managed to pull it off.
The price that you pay is you lost a great accompanist, too, I'm sure.
Exactly. That is exactly right.
But he is really doing a great job of conducting this group. And this is a great opportunity for people. Now, I have been in choruses, and so individual singers get a chance to sing, and then everyone is self-interested and thinks, oh, I sound great. But together, as a whole, there is a magnificent sound.
Well, there's a secret about the East Hill Singers, and that is it's a chorus comprised of inmates from the minimum security unit at Lansing Correctional Facility and community volunteer singers. And those two groups rehearse largely independent of each other, twice a month out here in the community and once a week inside of the facility. And there are 4 or 5 volunteers who do go up to the prison to rehearse with the guys on Tuesday. But the very first time those two choirs come together to sing as one is in the warm-up session right before the concert on Sunday. So it's pretty, I say it always comes out sounding so good because it's always done in a church.
The acoustics are good, that's true. But I would hazard a bet that these men would sound terrific anywhere. They have fine voices. Now, do they have to audition? Is this the kind of...
Not out at the prison, they don't. All are welcome.
So everyone is interested in singing.
That's Everybody's it, yes. there because they want to sing, yes.
And do they get any input into the selection of music?
As a norm, no. That is set up by the director, but they're all, both community and inmate singers, very vocal about letting the directors know what their favorite songs are, what songs they think they've sung too much, what new songs they'd like to try.
So how many times a year do they give a concert?
We perform outside of the prison walls 4 times a year, twice in April and twice in November. And from time to time, we do give a concert inside the prison.
And I'm lucky. I live in Lawrence, and I'm subscribed to the newspaper. So this was listed in the date book for the Lawrence. And that's how I heard. I had never even heard of the East Hill Singers before. But how do other people get, unless it's their church, obviously,
right.
but what kind of publicity do you try to
get? We put at least 20 press releases out every double concert session. So every spring and every fall, you'll find us on Arts KC Go. You'll find us in whatever newspapers are willing to publish, whatever television stations. You'll hear about the concerts on the radio station. And you can always get the information on our website, which is artsinprison.org.
This is East Hill Singers. And I would really encourage anyone who has a chance to hear. It's a short concert. There's no admission. It's very inspiring. It's a wonderful, wonderful event. And now tell me, how is it that you became involved?
I joined Arts in Prison 11 years ago. I came on board as the associate executive director, and when the previous executive director stepped down, I was promoted to that spot. It's funny, I come from a background of youth development, and we moved here for my husband's job. And when I decided I was ready to go back to work, I just applied for a bunch of jobs, and I went to this interview, and I listened, and I thought, wow, this Arts in Prison thing is a really interesting program, and it sounds like it does a lot of good work. I definitely write a check, but I'm not sure it would be my passion. After 20 years working with kids, that didn't seem like it would be a good, you know, the perfect fit for me. But I went out to my very first call out at the prison, and it was just life-changing. I heard some of the most intelligent, respectful, insightful conversation that I had heard in a long, long time. And these men in all of our programs are motivated to participate. They're anxious to learn new skills. They're anxious to demonstrate the skills that they have. And they're really ready to do something different with themselves. And so 11 years later, I'm still here. I guess that sort of worked out.
And this is only at Lansing. There's a lot of state prisons in Kansas. Any effort to try to broaden the base?
We have done programming in the past out at the Topeka Correctional Facility, which is the women's facility, and we have a choir which just started last week out there.
Wow.
So Topeka, look for us to be coming out to visit you in the next year or so with our women's choir. We are bringing two other programs out to Topeka right now. Also, we are at the Federal Detention Center in Leavenworth. We are looking forward to an opportunity to go into the military barracks at Fort Leavenworth. We're working with the staff up at USP Leavenworth. We've been there in the past. We're looking to go back there again. So we're reaching out everywhere, and wherever we can find people willing to go in and share their time and talent.
And it works. You have plenty of people in the prison that are interested in participating, mm-hmm. and we've been able to see people in the outside community that are perfectly willing to come and watch the concerts, and it's good all the way around. I'm so happy to hear you say you have women singers. That's an excellent, excellent addition, in all fairness, yes. It gives the inmates something positive to do, that, and they can be proud of their efforts.
I think that's one of the most important things, is that they get to do something that they feel proud about. They get to create something beautiful, whether it's a concert or a poem or a performance. And that's often an unusual experience. For the incarcerated, it gives, and once they can feel proud about what they've done, they start to look at themselves a little differently, and they start to feel a little more hopeful, and that puts them in the right frame of mind to prepare for reentry.
And then the entire practice of working together as a chorus to do
right.
an individual effort, but to apply it to a group.
Working in
so the social skills that are developed are just fantastic.
21st century job skills.
You say 21st century, it's curious about the 21st century, then you'll be expected to get a job and put on a headset and work all by yourself in a cube.
And for some people, that is exactly what they need to be doing.
But it is true. People do have to come out of the cube.
You have
to have job skills to get a job. That's the
truth.
You
do. Uh-huh. You do. Mm-hmm. And it's important, too, that they learn how to be a part of a whole, that they're accountable to others, and to pull their own weight, show up and do what they're supposed to do.
Well, it's exhilarating. And so far this morning, we've been able to hear the song they open every concert with, Holy, 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 that's excellent. A very inspiring rendition of Battle Hymn of the Republic. And it really is a stirring sound. And then I want to say, because of the bad weather, we were a little slow to start, and our opening song was Sweet Honey in the Rock. So they played Another Man Done Gone. That's a great a cappella women's music group, and we can only wait to hear what comes out of the Topeka Correctional Facility. So that'll just be wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a few minutes for public service announcements, and then we'll have the calendar. Lee and I will be back with a few of the poems I was able to record. Because this isn't just singing, it's an opportunity for people to recite their own poems. And it's very well done, Lee. Thanks for coming to Jaws of Justice
this
morning.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm. Now, the calendar for the week of January 14th. Corey's Network invites survivors of murder to their weekly workshops to learn how to deal with grief, the media, investigation, courts, and moving forward after a homicide has occurred. The next workshop, How Do I Move Forward?, will be held Monday, January 14th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Church of the Four Corners, 14300 East U.S. Highway 40, KCMO. The church is located east of the Hy-Vee at 40 Highway and Noland Road. For more information and listing of future workshops, call 816-834-9161 or email coreysnetwork@gmail.com. The KC Chapter of Mothers in Charge Healing Support Group will be meeting Thursday, January 17th from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Robert J. Mohart Multipurpose Center, Suite 124 West. That's at 3200 Wayne Avenue, KCMO. This group is for people who have lost loved ones to murder and violence. The first hour will be sharing of experiences. In the second hour, therapists and others who can help navigate the emotional and legal terrain will be available. For more information, you can find them at the web at kcmothersincharge.org or call them at 816-912-2601. My name is Jeff, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website. That's kkfi.org. We want to thank our engineer today, Keith Washburn. Now, we go back to Teresa and her guest.
We're talking with Lee Lynch. She's the Executive Director of Arts in Prison. I was lucky enough to attend a concert given by the East Hill Singers, a chorus that's made of 50% Lansing Correctional Institute inmates and volunteer chorus members from the community. We have more of their music to play, but I was also fortunate enough to get a few of their poems. Lee, the Arts in Prison sponsors poetry as well. Is that
right? We have a wide variety of programs that we offer. We call ourselves a comprehensive arts and corrections program because we offer so many different things. Not any one thing appeals to everybody, and we want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to participate in what we offer. So the poetry class is led by volunteer Arlen Beyer, and it meets once a week out at Lansing for two semesters each year. And any of the poets who also sing in the choir, we provide them an opportunity to share some of their poetry during the concert as well.
We're going to play that little short bit of poem from the concert that I heard, and you'll hear a call out to Arlen Beyer at that concert. Go ahead, Keith.
Louie, hindsight. Somewhere near the beginning, I strove to be somewhere else, never appreciating those certain magic nights. Latching onto a few tears that fell like war wounds down my cheeks. Following a winding road of despair, too many nights spent playing in the full moon led to moonlight broken by wastewater. Jagged shadows cast into a cell, longing for an end to the story that will take me home again. Renovation project. Rebuild. Use the right tools. Learning, thinking, working. Don't linger over a success. Thank you. Now, Mr. Robert Couch.
Existence. Slivers of ice travel through my nostrils, chilling my throat. Crunch of frozen rain, frosted, angrily submitting to my booted steps. A temporary proof that I existed in that place. Cold air finding its way into my bones. Mission, lust along. The silence of the mountains, unthreatening. The smell of summer, no more. A temporary illusion that I exist in that place. Thank you.
Those were two poems by inmates that I heard at a concert of the East Hill Singers. And I'm talking this morning with Lee Lynch. She's the executive director of Arts in Prison Corporation, which provides these kind of opportunities for inmates. These gentlemen wrote these poems.
They did.
And performed these poems. Here, listeners, next week, Arlen Byert will host Jaws of Justice, and he'll talk with two poet inmates from Cameron, Missouri. So apparently this goes on in both Kansas and Missouri. And Lee, I'm sure you can understand why. I mean, the inmates are very responsive to the opportunity to create and perform.
The opportunity to create is, for a lot of them, it's a way to give back. They see the damage that they've done in other times of their life, and because of Arts in Prison, they have the opportunity to participate in something that allows them to create something that gives, that's powerful, that's beautiful, that fills their soul, that might touch somebody else's soul. The arts are a real cathartic experience, and once you've been touched by something, in the arts, a painting, a poem, a performance, or a song, you're almost not the same, but you're also sharing that experience with the artist. So for a lot of people, the idea of being so moved by a person who's currently incarcerated for committing a felony, someone who is literally locked away from society, is a unique opportunity to open hearts and minds.
And it comes clearly across in the poetry, I think, much more so. They don't necessarily write the music. And so they're tending the choral arrangements are probably by your music director, who's Joseph Kern is doing a great job of that. The performance is often in churches. Is it always in churches?
We always perform in churches. We seek out host churches to host concerts. We will be we have two concerts coming up this spring, and on May 6th we'll be at Atonement Lutheran Church, which hosts at least one concert a year, as well as an art exhibit. I call Atonement our home away from home. They're very generous with us.
I don't know where that is.
It's Atonement Lutheran Church is in Overland Park, and they host the rehearsals for the community choir twice a month. They host our board of directors meetings. They work with the Kansas and Missouri reentry program, hosting some of those meetings. They have a very active prison ministry program, and they are so supportive of Arts in Prison. We would be, I don't know what we'd do without them sometimes, but they've been a part of our family for a very long time.
So always they go to churches, and they go on a bus,
they just come out on the regular transport vans from the prison. They're just white vans, not marked in any way. We get anywhere from 10 to 25 inmates who come out to a concert. That varies from concert to concert, depending on the criteria of the Kansas Department of Corrections. And they come into the church. We have two-hour warm-up period with the two choirs. The church then generously provides a break and some respite opportunity for fellowship with the choir, inmates, and the community singers. We do our concert, and then the church feeds the men a home-cooked meal, which certainly beats the chow call they missed out at the prison.
Part of our system of incarceration is to remove people from society and put them in a cell. And If you haven't given a thought to what is removed from the offender by being put into a cell, they don't have aromas that we get to smell. In Lawrence, the concert was at Plymouth Congregational, which is across the street from a very good bakery, and the aroma of bread to a person getting off a prison transport would be like night and day. It would be like life again, the chance to hear birds, to see traffic. Imagine that. You would even be glad to see traffic, which is because it's a real change. It's a novel experience.
Our seasoned choir members, those who have been with the choir for several years, and there are many of them, this is just what they do as part of the choir now. But every year we'll have one or two men who this is their first time coming out to sing. And often it can be their first time coming out from behind the wall. You always pick them out because at dinner they're quiet and super reflective. And if you sit down, they'll say, I haven't been on this side of a prison wall in 17 years. And they are they're awash in how everything has changed on the bus ride out. But for all of them, it's a very reflective time on the van ride back that they're now going back to their normal and their world.
Thank you for using that word reflective. That is the truth. So measuring things, what you see is from involvement with the chorus and the arts in prison program, poetry, and I assume you do visual arts. You must have painting.
We have visual arts. We have dramatic arts. We have yoga. We have knitting and crocheting. We have reading. We have conversation skills. We have other creative writing forms. We are blessed by many talented people.
And then Department of Corrections, is good about taking numbers on that. So the rate of recidivism for people who are involved in this program is improved.
It has. We did a recidivism study on just the East Hill Singers, it being our oldest and longest running program, so we had a larger pool to measure. And the recidivism rate amongst East Hill Singers is at 18%, and for the state of Kansas, it's 32%.
Wow.
And I firmly believe that the opportunity to go outside of the prison walls four times a year, to go into the community, sometimes the same community that you've brought pain to, and be well received is the reason why that recidivism rate is so low. Again, we go back to hope, to have the opportunity to interact with the general community in such a warm and welcoming way, lets the inmate see that there's the possibility of a welcoming return when they're returned to community. And 99% of everyone involved in the justice system will eventually go back to their community. Kansas releases upwards of 5,000 prisoners a year. So for them to see something warm, welcoming, and encouraging gives them hope. And I think for the community to see these men as something other than convicts, other than somebody who have committed a wrong against society, it gives them an opportunity to think, okay, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear, well, they don't look like prisoners. Gives them an opportunity to look at them a little bit differently. When the community changes its point of view a little bit and the inmate changes their point of view a little bit, there's a place where success can happen. One of our former East Hill Singers used to tell me all the time, he'd say, I know that the people out there are afraid of me moving in next door to them, but I'm afraid too. And for this opportunity where they connect and share space brings hope to both sides. And where there's hope, there's opportunity for change.
It's understandable they're afraid when you describe that people who are not in prison say, oh, well, they don't look like prisoners, as if as if that somehow changes your appearance.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just real life people who admittedly have made mistakes many times. And then sometimes, let's not forget, we're listening to Jaws of Justice Radio. They're just in prison and they haven't even committed the crime
sometimes
of which they're accused. So this is a great opportunity to do something positive and that builds their confidence and that makes them see that there can be good in the world.
Correct.
After very bad circumstances.
And good in themselves.
True that, yeah. Now then, do you have people who have left the prison who come back to...
We do. And one of my first experiences with a returning choir member, we were officed in Argentina at the time, and I was the only one in the office that day, and I was fairly new. And this man came up to the door, and he said, "I need to know when the next East Hill Singer rehearsal is." And I said, "Well, do you want to join the East Hill Singers?" And he stood very tall, and he said, "I am an East Hill Singer." This was the day after he was released from prison, and he found his way to our office to make sure that he would not miss the next community rehearsal, because that identity as an East Hill Singer, what the process of fellowship through music with other men had brought to him and his soul was so important to him, he wanted to make sure he wasn't going to miss any of that. So we have about 10 active East Hill Singer volunteer singers who are, in fact, former inmates.
I really swooned at the sound of the concert, but tell me, and the poetry is evocative. I mean, it's very emotional. But tell me about what kind of opportunity is there to see other creations of inmates, their visual art and their dramatic plays. Where do they...
Well, when the choir comes out, we always have an art exhibit that accompanies that. So that's all all artwork that has come out of the prison, either through our own visual art programs or Arts in Prison program participants who also create art.
So it would have been in the church?
It was there in the church, okay, that the concert's in. We have great partners in the Interurban Art House, which is always willing to host an exhibit. We've done exhibits in the Kansas City Public Libraries. The dramatic performances, those programs have all been in higher security level units, so we aren't able to take them out of the prison to perform. But when we have an opportunity, we get a program going in the minimum security unit, we'll be asking and trying and hoping to do that.
It's a good goal for a person who's incarcerated to try to keep their behavior to the point where they can get into minimum security so that they get an opportunity to go out.
Absolutely.
It works on every level. Now then, how does one become a volunteer singer? There's people from the community that do this. Who do they contact?
You probably know somebody who's already singing. That's a great way. That's the primary way we get people in there. But if you're out there and you're listening and you enjoy singing and you're looking for a men's choir to join that also does this huge bit of social good, you can reach out to us through our website at www.artsinprison.org. There's a link there to connect to me, and just let us know that you're interested, and we will get a hold of you with rehearsal information.
I also think that in churches now there's applause, and the applause points really sings to me as an encouraging thing for anybody. I mean, people don't have to applaud if they don't want to, and then to read a poem or create a choral piece and have resounding applause, that's all good.
Yeah. Very, very early on, when Elvira Voth, our founder, was still conducting the choir, and she had one of the singers, the group was much smaller at that point, who came up to her after a concert. Every week after the concert, we debrief a little bit with the guys, and he said to her, "You have no idea what it feels like to get a standing ovation when you've been told your whole life that you're worthless." And that's the kind of change that happens when you participate in something like this.
So have there been negatives to a program like this? Besides funding.
Well, the lack of funding does come from a really big negative. I can't tell you how often I hear the word "but." It's a great program, but. And I think that's the challenge of working with a population that nobody ever sees. There's the Kansas Department of Correction partners with us and works really well with us to make sure that in the process of taking the inmates out, in the process of making their work available in the public, we are not offending anyone. We're not running into victims of crime perpetuated by these same people at different points in their lives. There's a lot of attention given to that, to making sure that we are primarily and above all respectful of the crime victims in the state of Kansas. And then safety concerns. We've never had a safety issue with the East Hill Singers. I don't see that changing, but just, you know, their mission is to keep the inmates safe, the community safe, and the staff safe. And we partner with them to make sure, we work really hard with them to make sure all those I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And we are blessed. It's a program that changes lives and changes hearts.
I could see that clearly. There's a kind of it's an imaginary line, right? Both on the part of the inmates, they know that they're not out of prison, and then the audience and the people, the accompanists and the director, they know they're not in prison. And so there's a little distance there, but not a negative distance. It's just what I'm trying to say is that to provide inmates with this opportunity does not release them. It doesn't really make them free people, but right. It does help toward their future as free people.
It does. And they are, it's an incredibly, it's a terrific experience for them, and they're aware of it, and they don't take advantage of it. And nobody wants to be the man that wrecks the East Hill Singers for everybody else. So they're inside or outside prison, there are still rules, and all of us volunteers and all of the inmates still follow them. So we do keep it safe.
Right. I can see that clearly. And it's an excellent program, Lee. I really commend you on it. I hope that it continues on. And we're going to go out this morning with a CD. CDs are available at the concerts. As you end every one of your concerts with a song, May the Gift of Human Kindness, a Swedish hymn. So, well done. Thank you for coming this morning, and thank you for giving this chance to people.
I just want to jump in before we go to May the Gift and indicate it is an old Swedish hymn, but the words to the first verse as the East Hill Singers sing it were written by Muriel Stackley. Elvira Voth, our founder, is a Mennonite. Our roots are in the Mennonite church, and Muriel wrote the words to this first stanza specifically for the East Hill Singers as a reflection on what they are doing as part of the group and how they should carry themselves and move forward from there.
There's great beauty in that. I saw members of the chorus that I understood to be members of the Mennonite community in
right.
my town, and so those are peace-loving people, and it works well together. This is really a beautiful program, and I want to thank you very much for braving the bad weather and coming on with us today on Jaws of Justice. I want to encourage everyone to tune in next week, where we're going to have featured more of the poetry, less the choral music, and the choral music is beautiful. The poetry is very strongly emotional and evocative. It talks about the entire experience of the inmates, which is very compelling.
And if you're interested in more poetry, they have published 3 volumes of poetry from this particular class, and that's also available through Arts in Prison.
So if you're aware of anyone who is in prison, who's interested in singing, writing poems, doing painting, working with clay, what's your website again?
It's www.artsinprison.org.
And I think we can now hear, as we close every of your concert, May the Gift of Human Kindness.
May the joy of words and music bring your eyes. It's the 420 Drug War News. This is a continuation of my discussion with J.S. Raffaele, a guest on the Cultural Baggage Show. His book, Drug Wars, the Terrifying Inside Story of Britain's Drug Trade.
And at the time, Britain had a system which was internationally known as the British system. And it was a great source of national pride in that era that heroin, drugs in general, but specifically heroin, was not handled by law enforcement. It was an issue for doctors. So drug addicts, if you were addicted to heroin, you could go to your doctor and say, I'm an addict, and he would supply you heroin, not methadone, not a replacement opioid substitute, actual heroin, which was 100% clean. You knew exactly what was in it, and you got free needles with it. And this was how Britain handled the growing issue of heroin in the early 20th century. What the British doctors, like the Dixon, who you just read, were worried about is they were looking at the United States and what was going on there with, you know, that was the era of alcohol prohibition and immediately following the Harrison Act, which had banned illicit drugs in the United States. And they could see that addiction was rocketing in America. There was hundreds of thousands of heroin addicts because of the growth of the black market. In Britain, because of the British system, there was no black market in heroin, like zero. Because why would a gangster sell heroin when his client base can go get it free from their doctors? Not free, but very cheap from their doctors.
Yeah.
There's no profit incentive. And everyone in Britain, all the sort of the doctors, the medical community, the medical establishment, were warning the politicians, look, if you go down the American road of prohibition, you will inherit the American problems, which did not exist in Britain. There are these statistics in the book, which are absolutely mad. So in 1959, there were 62 known heroin addicts in the UK. 62.
Wow.
By 1964, this had risen to 342. And that was a huge scandal. There were 342 addicts in the whole United Kingdom. I mean, now, after a few decades of prohibition, we have 350,000.
Oh, God.
But to think that there was a time in living memory when the number of heroin addicts in the UK could, you know, fit into a small pub. Well, it's almost unimaginable. And that was part of the really interesting learning process of doing the book for me, was I didn't know any of this stuff. It was completely blew my mind.
More with J.S. Raffaele on tomorrow's report. I'm Dean at drugtruth.net.
Sitting here in my problem, what am I gonna do now? Am I gonna make it? Some way, somehow. Well, maybe I'm not supposed.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. You can always listen to us live and find our podcasts on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. If you have a show idea or want to help produce the show, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. This is Jamie reminding you our outro music is Better Man from the Playing for Change CD. Please tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Cowtown Conversations on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Monday Morning Medicine Show with Dr. Mike, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Hoag. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day south of the border with Fiesta Musical, Compartiendo Familia, and Compartiendo en Noche.